Chapter 5. Can a boy in a bear suit disrupt a professional football game? "Mom, I want to be a bear for Halloween," said Tony.
"A bear?"
"Yeah, a bear."
"Why can't you be a ghost or a vampire?" Mrs. Madison placed a plate of some steaming pancakes on the kitchen table.
Tony forked a couple of pancakes, dropped them onto his plate, and drowned them with maple syrup.
"Because bears are undeniably the coolest creatures on the planet Earth."
"Says who?"
"Me," Tony said, lifting a bite of pancake towards his mouth. A thin strip of syrup stretched between his fork and plate. Tony broke the string with his tongue.
"Well, Mr. Me," said Mrs. Madison, "bears may be cool, but there's more to this than you're telling me. Something's been bugging you for the last few days. Moms know these things. What's up, Mr. Me?"
Tony shrugged his shoulders.
"Come on, TB. Mom's radar is pretty strong. My radar tells me that there are two things bothering you. Number one, I think you're upset because your father and I came down hard on you because you photocopied your back end. Number two, I don't think you want to be a bear for Halloween because they're cool. This has something to do with that TV show, doesn't it?"
Tony stared into his plate. Soon he came totally clean and lay it all out before his mother. Or should he sort of lay it all out before his mother? He opted for sort of.
"Well, Mom," Tony slowly said, "raking leaves isn't so bad, but missing the late show is torture. You sure know how to hurt a guy."
"Well, Mr. Me, I didn't photocopy my butt. You did. So now you're going to have to deal with the consequences.
I didn't hurt you. You hurt yourself."
"I guess you're right.
Now, what about the bear suit? Is there a late show connection?"
"Not really," Tony said, choosing his words carefully.
"I saw a guy wear a bear suit on the late show once, but it was no big deal."
"No big deal, huh?
And if I rent a bear suit for you, will you turn it into a big deal?"
"How could it, Mom? Come on. It's just Halloween. It seems to me that you're making one big deal out of this. All I want is for my costume to be different from that of everybody else's."
"Is there anything wrong with that? And don't forget, bears are undeniably the coolest creatures on planet Earth."
"No, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be different," Mrs. Madison chuckled. "And bears are cool."
"No, you're cool, Mom," Tony said as he shoved a bite of pancake into his mouth. "Even though you're tougher than a prison warden."
Mrs. Madison looked at Tony and smiled.
"So, Mr. Me, where am I going to get a bear costume? They aren't real common, you know."
"Remember that awesome costume shop down at the plaza? I bet you can rent one there. I'd even chip in for some of my allowance money."
"Your own money? Mrs. Madison said, sipping her coffee. "You are serious about this, aren't you?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"Okay, I'll rent one, but promise that you'll take good care of it."
Tony got up and went over to his mother, grabbed her fingers, drew them to his lips, and kissed the back of her hand.
"Promise, madame, that I will do nothing to disgrace your royal name," he muttered in his best British accent.
"Oh, brother," Mrs. Madison sighed, wiping the sticky mess off her hand. "Why don't I believe you?"
"Smells good," Mr. Madison interrupted as he wandered into the kitchen.
"Where's Maria?"
"She'll be in bed till noon. You know how Saturdays and teenagers are," Mrs. Madison answered.
Mr. Madison snatched a piece of bacon from the plateful on the counter.
"So what's new with you, TB?" he asked.
"Two things," answered Tony as he sat back to get his pancakes.
"I'm going to be a bear for Halloween, and I get to go to the Chiefs game."
Mr. Madison raised his eyebrows.
"Did you say a Chiefs game?"
The Kansas City Chiefs were his favorite football team.
"Yeah, my class is going on a special field trip. I forgot to tell you about it. We get to see the Chiefs play the New York Jets next weekend on Halloween Day. Any kid that wears a costume gets a team picture at the Chiefs. Mr. Gore got free tickets from the quarterback. They played together in college. Anyway, Mr. Gore says we might even get to meet some of the players and get their autographs. It's going to be great."
"Free tickets? Autographs? Wow," said Mr. Madison.
"Please, please, please don't forget to sign my permission form."
"I won't," Mr. Madison assured Tony.
"Do you think you can go too? Mr. Gore needs some parent volunteers."
You know, I'd love to, Mr. Madison mumbled with a dreamy look on his face. More than anything. But your mother and I volunteered to sponsor the Halloween party at the children's hospital. But you go ahead and have a great time.
I will, Dad.
You're one lucky guy, sighed Mr. Madison. That should be one heck of a game. A slight chill hung in the air. Puffy clouds drifted across a deep blue sky. Red, orange, gold leaves fluttered to and fro on their journey to the ground. A yellow school bus, packed with noisy kids and a handful of parent volunteers, pulled into the parking lot of Arrowhead Stadium. Mr. Gore herded his class off the bus and gathered them around himself. We're in for a real treat today, he said. The Chiefs and the Jets are undefeated. This should be a classic NFL battle.
I hope the Jets crush the Chiefs, Dean muttered. The Chiefs stink. They're a bunch of wimps.
Mr. Gore gave Dean the evil eye. Class, please do three things today. Respect people, respect property, and enjoy the game, Mr. Gore said. This is going to be a blast.
Look, Mr. Gore, I brought my baseball glove, Spacey Casey beamed. Maybe I'll catch a foul ball today.
Mr. Gore ruffled Casey's hair. You might just do that, Batwoman, he laughed. Let's go. Mr. Gore and Casey led the way into Arrowhead Stadium. Tony slowly scanned the stadium. He couldn't believe how big it was. It reminded him of a giant bowl filled with people instead of cereal.
Wow, how many people does this place hold? He asked, adjusting his bare head from his right hand to his left hand.
Duh, Dean replied. About a million.
Dean, cool it,
Mr. Gore warned as he led them to their seats.
TB, it holds just over 79,000 people, and today is a sellout crowd. This place will be crazy in a short while.
Mr. G's class settled into section 119, right behind the chief's bench. Moms, dads, monsters, aliens, ninjas, ghosts, pirates, hobos, witches, and others, assorted others, normal and strange, quickly filled the stadium. The Jets took the opening kickoff and promptly marched down the field and scored a touchdown and made extra point. Jets 7, Chiefs 0. The Chiefs answered the challenge and ground out 77 yards to the Jets' 10-yard line. And on the next play, they scored a touchdown on a beautiful quarterback sneak by Brent Green. Mr. Gore jumped out of his seat and threw popcorn into the air.
Did you see that? He shouted. What a drive. What a QB sneak by Green. I play college ball with that guy.
The Chiefs kicked the point after the touchdown. Jets 7, Chiefs 7. Crazy Daisy, dressed as a soldier, spied the fluffy white popcorn kernel showering the people below Mr. Gore. It didn't take her long to move into action. She hopped up on her seat and yelled, "Fire away!" Then she launched her box of popcorn as far as she could. Mike Elway pulled his finger out of his clown nose, saluted Daisy, then threw his box of popcorn towards the heavens. "Cool," he mumbled. Mo, Anna, and Tony stood in their seats. "On the count of three," cried Anna. "One, two, three." And three more boxes of popcorn flew over the crowd. Within seconds, Arrowhead Stadium went nuts. Thousands of boxes of popcorn were launched towards the playing field. A blizzard of popcorn settled over the stadium. Orville Redenbacher would have been proud, Mo said in awe as he viewed the snowless snowstorm. Mr. Gore glared at Daisy, Mike, Mo, Anna, and Tony.
I hope you're proud of yourselves. Look at this mess.
They shrugged their shoulders.
You started it, Tony said hesitantly.
Mr. Gore shook his head, rolled his eyes, and turned his attention back to the field. The game rolled on. Both teams surged up and down the field. It was a Wild West game of sort. At halftime, the score was tied, Chiefs 21, Jets 21. At the end of three quarters, the score was still tied, Chiefs 31, Jets 31. But things weren't going well for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. They didn't score. Late in the quarter, the Jets were ahead, Jets 37, Chiefs 31. And the Jets were driving deep into Chiefs territory for yet another score. It didn't look good for the home team. Fortunately, the Jets fumbled the ball, and the Chiefs recovered on their own 10-yard line. Then the umpire called a 2-minute warning timeout.
Ha! They'll never go 90 yards for a touchdown in less than 2 minutes, Dean announced.
The game is over. I told you they were a bunch of wimps. Everyone ignored Dean. Tony Mudge, no.
It's time. Are you going with me?
Where?
I'm going to snatch the football from the field. Then I'll get it autographed by the Chiefs after the game.
Yeah, right.
I'm really going, insisted Tony.
Without me, said Mo, shoving a bite of cotton candy into his mouth. I like living.
Fine, I'll go by myself, said Tony.
You're nuts.
I might be, but who cares? I'll see you after the game.
Mo gave a thumbs up sign to Tony and said, good luck, because you'll need it.
Thanks, Tony said as he stood up. Then he yelled down the row to Mr. Gore. May I go to the urination station?
Yeah, sure, Mr. Gore answered.
I'll take him, volunteered Mrs. Peterson, sitting a few seats down from Mr. Gore. Anna, do you need to go?
No, Ma.
Okay, let's go, TB.
Thanks, said Mr. Gore. He turned his attention to the ice cream cone that Daisy just dropped on his lap, and Tony and Mrs. Peterson walked their way up the steps towards the restrooms.
I'm going to step into the women's restroom, said Mrs. Peterson. I'll meet you out front in 3 minutes.
Thanks, Mrs. P, said Tony. I'll be out in a flash.
Mrs. Peterson disappeared into the women's room, and Tony slipped back down the stairs towards the football field. A loud roar erupted from the fans when he reached the field railing that separated the stands from the playing field. All eyes were on the field. He hooked his leg over the rail and was ready to drop the field when somebody tapped him on the shoulder. Tony turned slowly around, expecting to see a very upset Mr. G, but this is not the case.
I'm going, said a ninja.
Me too, said a princess.
Mo, Anna, wow! Let's go, quick!
There's a problem, though, TB, said Anna, pointing to a nearby security guard on the back side of the sideline, just below the kid.
How are you going to get past him?
Tony swung his leg over the back rail.
Good question. Any ideas?
I have an idea, said Mo. Watch this.
This better be good, said Tony. If you mess up, my plane will be dead, and maybe you too.
I have this one covered, Mo said, smiling at Tony.
Even I can come up with a good one from time to time.
Yeah, right, said Tony.
Have faith in your good old buddy, Mo, TB. Watch this.
Mo curled his tongue, stuck his forefinger and thumb against his teeth, and let loose a sheer, shrill whistle. The security guard turned and looked at him.
Excuse me, sir, yelled Mo, motioning to the security guard. Can you please come over here?
The guard made his way up to Mo and looked at him. What's up, kid?
I don't know if I should report this or not, sir, Mo said, but some guy in the first row about 3 sections down keeps throwing stuff down the sideline. Someone might get hurt. I just thought you'd want to know.
You're darn right I want to know. I'll go check it out right away. Thanks, kid.
The guard hustled away, and Mo smiled at Tony.
I told you I had it covered.
Tony smiled and clapped Mo on the back. Darn good job, old buddy.
What are we waiting for? Asked Anna. The coast is clear.
Yeah, said Tony. Let's do it.
The 3 kids dropped down to the back of the sideline. Nobody noticed them because the security guard was looking out for the out-of-control guy, and the Chiefs had just moved to the 50-yard line on a 40-yard pass. The people in the stands cheered wildly. The Chief coaches and players cheered wildly. The whole state of Missouri was probably cheering wildly. The Jets called a timeout, and the football sat all alone in the middle of the field.
Tony stared at the ball.
He put on his bare head.
Stay here and wait for me.
Then the short bundle of brown fur slipped through a gap of excited players and streaked onto the football field.
Tony reached the middle of the field and grabbed the football. He turned and ran back towards the gap that would lead to safety.
As he neared the sideline, the line judge stepped into his path and yelled, "What are you doing, Bear?"
Tony cut to his right and streaked down the sideline.
The zebra striped line coach followed in hot pursuit.
"Give me that ball, now!" yelled the line judge.
"No way!" Tony cried. Tony ran for his life. The line judge ran after Tony, and a voice boomed over the stadium loudspeaker.
"The Bear's at the 45! The 40! Look at him go!"
People in the stadium started shouting,
"Go, go, go!"
Tony veered to the center of the field. He chanced a quick look over his shoulder, and he still had the lead. But when he looked back down the field, he saw that trouble was waiting for him at the 30-yard line, a large security guard in a dark blue uniform. There was only one thing Tony could do. He ran straight at the guard. The guard waited with outstretched arms. At the last moment,
Tony cut left and then sharp to the right. The guard dove for Tony, but a second too late. All he got was an armful of grass as he laid down on the 30-yard line. And the loudspeaker boomed again. What a move by the bear! He's at the 25! The 20! Look at him go! The crowd went bonkers, and the stadium rocked with their chant. Go, bear, go! Go, bear, go! Tony ran for all that he was worth. He's at the 15! He's at the 10! Oh no, the zebra is gaining on the bear! The loudspeaker boomed. At the 5-yard line, the line judge dove for Tony, nicked the back of his right heel, and sent him flying. Tony flipped through the air and landed on his feet in the end zone. The bear scored a touchdown! The bear just scored a 50-yard TD! A loudspeaker boomed again. Tony ran to the back of the end zone, took off his bear head, and performed a touchdown dance. The fans in the stands chanted, yelled, laughed, and threw their boxes of popcorn one more time. The second blizzard of the day hit Arrowhead Stadium. Mo and Anna ran into the end zone and gave Tony a high five. A camera crew followed them. A guy shoved a microphone in Tony's face. Hey kid, I'm from ESPN. Can I talk to you? Yeah, sure. Tony panted, wiping the sweat from his forehead. What's your name? Anthony Madison. But my friends call me Tony Baloney, or TB for short. What a run, TB. What was that all about? Well, it's about the late show with David Letterman, Tony answered. I don't understand, said the news guy. I saw this gag on the late show one night. A guy in a bear suit went onto Broadway and tried to hail cabs, and then he tried to get hugs from strangers. It was really funny, so I thought if I would wear a bear suit and I would try to snatch a football from an NFL game. Well, you did it, TB. What's next? I'm going to be on the late show someday, Tony said. Then he put his arms around Anna and Mo's shoulders. And I'm going to take my two best friends with me. Thanks, TB, said Mo. I'll go with you if I'm still alive after tonight. Thanks, TB, said Anna. You really are the best. Then she put her arm around his waist and gave him a little squeeze. Tony's face turned bright red, as red as a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. The news guy continued. This is quite a story, but this interview is over, interrupted Mr. Gore. Out of the end zone, kids. It's time to let the Chiefs do their thing. He led Tony, Mo, and Anna to the Chiefs' bench. The rest of the class and parent volunteers were waiting for them, surrounded by giant football players. I've received permission for us to watch the rest of the game from the sidelines. It's delayed for 15 minutes until all the confusion is sorted out. Anna and Mo, take a seat. And Mr. Confusion, step over here with me. Mr. Gore led Tony to the end of the bench and jerked Tony's bear head out of his hand and dangled it in front of him. TB, I should have your head in my hand and not the stupid bear head. I think I'm going to send you to the locker room with one of the security guards until the game is over, and then I'll deal with you. Tom, what are you doing down here? A player asked as he passed Mr. Gore and Tony. Mr. Gore diverted his attention from Tony to the player. Hey, Brent, Mr. Gore said as they shook hands. That was an awesome sneak, and unfortunately, Mr. Gore paused and looked down at Tony. What I'm doing down here is dealing with one of my own 10-year-old sneaks. Brent Green looked at Tony and smiled. That was a heck of a run, kid. Maybe someday you'll play for the Chiefs. Your teacher was a heck of a player in college. He could have made it to the pros if it wasn't for that nasty knee injury he got his senior year. It's good to see you on the field again, Tom. Brings back good memories. That it does, says Mr. Gore. Hey, man, I have to get to my coach ASAP, Brent said, with a wide smile creased against his face. Or else I'll soon find myself playing for the Bengals, and what a nightmare that would be. I don't want to mesh with Coach Mitchell. He's a tough guy. That he is, Brent. You better get to the sideline, said Mr. Gore. And do me a favor, would you? Pull off your 2-minute magic and teach the Jets a lesson. Will do, Brent said. I have my lucky game socks on. I haven't washed them since we made playoffs last year. Disgusting, said Tony. Brent tapped Tony's shoulder with his helmet. Then Brent Green and Mr. Gore made a fist with their right hands and brought them together in a light punch. See you after the game, Brent said as he walked away. Mr. Gore ruffled Tony's sweaty hair and winked at him. Let's forget the security card and locker room business, okay? Confusion washed over across Tony's face. Thanks. No, thank you, said Mr. Gore, smiling at Tony. You're not going to kill me? today. It's been a long time since I've been on a football field. Sometimes I really miss the gridiron. Thanks for bringing that back.
You're welcome, said Tony, nodding his head. I had this planned all along. And, by the way, what's a gridiron?
Mr. Gore chuckled. Let's watch the game.
The Chiefs scored a touchdown with 1 second to go in the game. They kicked the extra point and won the game. Chiefs 38, Jets 37. 79,000 fans went totally bonkers. Mr. Gore's class got autographs. Mr. Gore saw many of his old football friends. Mrs. Hernandez, the secretary, watched the game on TV and was glad she wasn't there. And most of all, or best of all, Tony, Mo, and Anna didn't have to go to the principal's office.
Later that night, after finding out he was grounded for a week, he couldn't watch TV for a month, Tony wrote a letter to David Letterman before he went to bed.
October 31st. Dear Mr. Letterman, my parents are really mad at me. My dad said I went too far today, and my mom said I'm teetering on the edge of existence. What the heck does that mean? I thought my teacher would kill me, but he didn't for some strange reason. He actually seemed kind of pleased with me. Anyway, here's another top 10 list you might want to use on your show. The top 10 ways a kid can make national news. 10. Steal an ice cream truck and drive to Disney World. 9. Get caught painting a mustache on George Washington at Mount Rushmore. 8. Single-handedly persuade Congress to pass a law making it a federal offense for school cafeterias to serve cold, soggy, limp French fries. 7. Write a best-selling book called 101 Ways to Successfully Avoid Doing Homework. 6. Organize a national elementary school walkout demanding more and longer recess periods. 5. Chain yourself to display in Toys R Us and refuse to leave until Jeffrey the giraffe signs your hinder. 4. Rollerblade across the United States in your birthday suit. 3. Set a world record for wearing the same pair of underpants the most days in a row. 2. Open the first coffee shop in the school cafeteria and name it Star Dorks. 1. Steal the football from an NFL game in progress. Sincerely, Tony Baloney. P.S. Number 1 really happened. Yes, I snatched a football from the Chiefs-Jets game, and all the Chiefs autographed the ball for me. My parents are really mad, though. I'm grounded for a week and can't watch any TV for a month. Call me and I'll explain. My phone number is 816-555-0942. Are you ever going to invite me to be on your show?